Thank you for joining in once again and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Aaron Howlett. Join us again as we go on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's great for us to sit down again and hopefully get this into a better rotation. As in, I know we've been, even our last episode, we were apologizing for not actually getting out and podcasting, but
yeah,
it's time to get back into food for the two of us. Not that we haven't been doing food, but...
No, I know. It's been about finding time to record.
Yeah, and then actually edited it. Because that seems to take more time than the two of us sitting down and chatting. And I think the two of us could come and chat about a whole number of things and literally waste hours and hours and hours talking just about food in general. So
yeah, absolutely. It's definitely the editing, right? These episodes don't edit themselves. And you go to great lengths and efforts to do so. So I always appreciate that. And I understand that that's where our limitation is just how much can you actually edit in a week?
Right. When I'm not doing ice cream
running a business, being a dad, and
doing all those other fun things, getting out to some fun events around the community. So, what I was thinking about is we've got a couple episodes with a couple of farmers and producers and stuff coming up here.
Okay.
But I thought, since we've been doing a couple episodes, or our last two episodes, we're talking about, well, the big one was a soup with a soup fest.
That's right. We got right into soup.
Which was a great event and had lots of fun. And congratulations to Kevin Monroe for his winning soup in that whole event. So that was a beautiful curried squash and apple soup.
Nice.
With a little beet. Dragon eye, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, a beautiful looking soup.
Okay.
If you want to check out some of the postings on Facebook from Black Creek Community Center, you can see, I think they've got a couple photos of the event and of his soup. And it was fun, but I was thinking about that. And then we've done the episode with Blue Spruce.
We talked all about Blue Spruce and the ice cream.
About ice cream. And the thing I was thinking that pulls those two together is talking a little bit about seasoning and flavoring.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people can say that, you know, part of being a chef is knowing technique and having this, you know, the skill to be efficient and manage a kitchen and what have you. But really the finesse, like the thing that separates average chef from a great chef is, you know, knowing where to, I would say managing your people, but B, also the seasoning and flavoring, because that's what it all comes down to. That's what the customer or the participant or the person on the other side, the end user, whoever's eating the item, that's what they're going to feel that distinguish your stuff from other people's, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Your flavoring, your seasoning.
Well, and there is a bit of a difference between the two of them that we could get into.
Sure, yeah. And I think this is great because this is a muscle that you're definitely flexing lately with you're being very creative and innovative in a kitchen again instead of, you know, setting down and just pumping out things from a set menu. You're getting, you know, your creative juices flowing. So I think that's great that we can talk about your process of where does flavor come from for you? Where do you season things? Where do you, like, let's get into it.
Okay. Well, let's go strictly the difference between the two. Seasoning means more of enhancing the natural flavors of the food,
right?
Without significantly changing the flavor. And so like most of your time, you're using three ingredients, which would be salt, spices, and herbs.
Okay. So, and then from the salt, spices, and herbs, that's where we're talking about, just bringing out that natural flavor that exists in something, i.e. if we're talking about stewing or cooking down some tomatoes.
Yeah.
You've got your tomatoes, you're cooking them down. You're not looking to adjust the flavor. You're looking to really bring out the tomato flavor as best you can.
You're trying to pull that flavor out.
Okay.
And so that's
where seasoning comes in.
That's where seasoning. Whereas flavoring is actually introducing a flavor into something.
Right. So that's where you're getting the end flavor of the dish, adding to it to build on.
Build on. So perfect. You're adding. Okay. So I guess really I'm looking at this as with flavoring is that it's part of the process of building the dish of what you're trying to create.
Right.
Whereas seasoning is that final enhancing of it.
really bringing, making that do what it can to its fullest, making whatever that item is.
Yeah, that main ingredient of what you're doing it to that flavor. So,
do you want to get into that at all? Do you want to get into either of those at all?
I would love to.
All right.
You know, like it's really, if you think about it, it's such a simple thing and such a basic thing, but it's something that's something overlooked by people because they get caught up as you get your recipe and it says, as your tomato soup, put your onions in there, put some celery, some carrots, and there's like one onion, one carrot, one stalk of celery, 20 tomatoes.
Right.
You know, and people stick to that routine. And then all of a sudden when you get to that end, you're like, oh, like, you know, like, oh, it said a teaspoon of salt. Well, I put a teaspoon of salt. I can't put any more in there.
Right.
And I'm like, that's the point where that's where you want to start playing with it. And that's why I think when you look at a lot of recipes, they just say salt or pepper.
Right.
And they don't say how much. But there's like, it's always that thing is you can always add seasonings. You can't take them away.
Right.
So I like to season as I go along. So I find it's a process that, you know, like if I throw a little bit of, like when I'm doing my mirepoix, so my onions and carrots and celery, fennel is one I love to throw in there. You know, throwing that little bit of salt and pepper in there, and the salt will actually pull some of that moisture out of the vegetables as it cooks down. So you will be able to brown it a little bit or more evenly.
So yeah, right there, you're getting more flavor. You're getting, but I mean, that's just it. So your seasoning is developing your flavor. I have to say, and especially people in my life that I cook for, they will say that I underseason. And I think that that's because I grew up in, I don't know, I think that the majority of the food that I ate was very salty. My mom just, she was an unabashed salt lover. She's oversalted everything. And so that was sort of my kickback was like, pushback was that I didn't want to make oversalty food. So people will say that I undersalt everything, whether it's soup, whether it's whatever. But I, again, that's why I think that salt and pepper are on the table. I guess I play it safe commit, you know?
Well, and everyone has that little bit of a different taste. Like, you mean, I've made some soups where I've had a bit of a cold or a plugged nose, you know, and it really changes the taste because I will oversalt something. I always say I'm in love. Because a love chef just oversalts everything because his mind's somewhere else. But that's part of the seasoning process is just, you know, taking your time and, you know, and throwing some herbs or spices like, you know, some fresh pepper in there or those and just to enhance those flavors.
Yeah. You know, we talk about whatever our go-tos or the way that we set up our own kitchens and like, you know, we have a lot of things that you and I have that are very same and very different. And one thing that I know that I always have now, which I didn't before, is I take a piece of paper towel or maybe a very clean kitchen cloth, you know, something super clean. I dampen it, not wet, dampen it. I want a little bit of moisture to be locked in there, but not a lot. And then I take a Tupperware or container and I keep handfuls of fresh herbs in my fridge now. Whereas before I'd be like, oh, well, I'm making this and I'll go pick up that from the grocery store or I'm making this and I'll pick that out from the garden. But now like I need a variety of fresh herbs on hand thing I'm doing. And that's been a big change in my cooking style over the last year, I would say, something I dabbled with in previous years. But like, I love having, you know, my herbs right now, I always have thyme, rosemary, chives. I always have tarragon because I love tarragon. I love thyme. It's always in there. But I like having them because there's such a huge flavor there just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can do anything to any dish and just instantly flavor it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and herbs, and we should actually just talk the difference between herbs and spices, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, herbs are most of your leafy products, right?
So,
and you can get them both dried and fresh.
Yeah.
You have to watch with fresh, you're going to definitely need a little bit more because the dried is more condensed. So
the drying process just naturally intensifies flavors.
Oh yeah, exactly. So it takes all that moisture out of there. And so that flavor is just more intense and strong. So you have to be kind of, you know, concerned about that. Like if you're seasoning something with a little bit of dry basil compared to fresh basil, you're going to get two completely different
flavors.
Yeah. But you'll still have that. It's not that it's a bad flavor and that using one over the other is better, but I'm just saying you're going to have a different feeling to your sauce.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Whereas your spices are more of like your buds and your fruits, your flowers, bark, seeds, roots of plants. And they're usually really intense flavors. A lot of them are dried down when you get to spices, right?
Like, right, exactly. And even more so, the majority of them are turned into a powder form. Mm-hmm. Where you're not throwing in a piece of, I mean, I guess you can, but like you're not throwing in a piece of cinnamon bark on as usually, you know, you're getting ground cinnamon.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I honestly, just to bring up a side note on that, is like, I like having whole spices. Same. instead of ground like, spices.
Exactly. Nutmeg. I used to always have nutmeg ground. Nope.
Yeah.
I've got my nutmegs now and I do it straight into the dish.
Yeah. And it's amazing how much less you need too when you're doing that. Like I've dripped cinnamon. They're like, but I'm reading recipes and you're like, oh, use 2 teaspoons. And you're like, I will just shave some of the fresh stuff or the sticks. And then all of a sudden I'm like, well, I use 1 teaspoon. So.
Right. And the difference too there with using it straight from the source, I find is that the flavor is brighter. Mm-hmm. So you might get a subtle cinnamon flavor in a dish that called for that 2 teaspoons of powdered. But then when you're actually grating it right in, you're getting a really bright sort of a pop.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's great to point out too. So we've sort of put the difference there between herbs and spices. And I guess that's another thing too, is a lot of people equate spice with being spicy, which they aren't the same.
No.
I think you definitely clarified there what constitutes as a spice. But if you wanted to talk spicy, do we want to talk about flavors? Do we want to get into flavors?
Well, okay. Yeah. Cause I think we've done a good thing with seasoning.
Right.
Like, and that's sort of like, really it's your salt and your pepper. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of those things in the beginning just to enhance flavor. Like as you were talking about nutmeg.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a beautiful one. I find nutmeg just a touch of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like so that you don't even like in a tomato sauce or in mashed potatoes or in there. It'll bring out some of those natural flavors.
Yeah.
Now, if you grate a whole one in there, you're going to taste nutmeg. You're going to taste it all. So it's really about being cautious about how much you're adding.
I would say that's another thing that I've learned in the last few years. Nutmeg, cinnamon, cumin, paprika, those things show up a lot more than you think in day-to-day foods, and they belong there. There is definitely you can just kick up your cooking in general just by starting to introduce those little bits of spices here and there. You wouldn't believe how many things you eat daily already contain them. But
So it's being really subtle with those and not having them overwhelm. But on the flip side, then you can still use herbs and spice as flavoring.
Right.
Which can be more important. And I'm thinking this is like, as you were talking, tomato soup and like a good tomato and basil soup, right? Like,
the difference is huge, but that's just it. You've flavored it with basil. You've introduced that basil to be a strong component of it.
So there is a bit of room to sort of swing back and forth between seasoning and flavoring.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
We should definitely talk about flavoring and what flavoring is, because that really goes down to your tongue and your smell, right? And there are five
general categories that we recognize as being the five main components of flavor, or the five major different distinctions in flavor.
Right. So we've got sweet, sour, bitter, salty, and umami, which would be like savory.
Right.
And maybe we could just talk about some of those. And you know what? I like to think about it when doing flavoring. I like to think about it as that wheel.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I like to think about it. And if you just draw a wheel and then put those flavors around that wheel.
Okay.
And then when you want to taste something, you want to have all five components.
Right.
It doesn't.
A very balanced dish. I've always, I can honestly say I don't always taste it, but a very balanced dish will have components of all of those. They will have or those will be represented.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And not that I'm saying is that in this wheel, you can go to sweeter.
Yeah.
But it's not bad to have salty and sweet.
Yeah.
Like if you think about like a nice salted caramel, or even chocolate with a little touch of salt on the top of it. Oh my God. Like that's amazing. So we're going back into seasoning with flavoring.
Right.
But I'm saying when you're doing a dish, if you're making a spicy chili and you want heat, don't forget to add in those savory aspects, a little bit of bitterness, you know, mm-hmm. like it doesn't have to be overwhelming, but it's just to keep that balance, because when something touches your tongue,
yeah,
it goes through all those five senses. So you want right. to have that sort of feeling throughout it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It does. And when, if all you're tasting is spicy, either it's been overspiced or it's, yeah, it's just not balanced. You're only hitting that one side, and the dish will end up feeling somewhat hollow, or
mm-hmm.
yeah, it feels like it's missing something and you can't put your finger on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's, I like having that tongue coating with your yeah. flavoring. So you're sort of hitting all those different flavors,
yeah.
all those different tastes.
I will say this too. I think that I think that people generally fear spice, and I'm not one of those people that generally like spicy foods. Like, I used to have a roommate, and he had 12 hot sauces in the fridge at all times. He had, you know, like anything he ate had to be just loaded with spicy whatever. And that's to each their own. That's how he preferred things to be. Fantastic. That's great. I generally didn't like a lot of spice in things. I liked spice on occasion on certain dishes that called for spice. I would enjoy them. But one thing that I've learned is that everybody holds back on spice. Nobody will be like, if you're making cookies and like, oh, some extra sweet thing fell in, like, oh, it's got too much sugar. Oh no. Yeah. And people are like, you know, that's hilarious. But when it comes to spice, they're very judicious and cautious to not overspice. I find that I'm starting to recognize again, in a lot of foods, I would not have expected to find a little bit of heat, a little bit of spice, that I thoroughly enjoy that. I love that little bit. And I don't even mean that it needs to bite. I just, it balances, you know?
You know what? I got to throw something out
sure.
here, because this yeah. was like, this was a very simple dish
okay.
that I used some hot sauce on it that mm-hmm. just was like, boom, I just sent it to the next level, you
oh,
know?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm really, I took some crusty bread
okay,
and I put a little mayonnaise on there mm-hmm. and a little bit of cheddar, like an old cheddar.
Okay.
And I just broiled it in the oven for a quick second.
Oh yeah.
Fried an egg, mm-hmm. threw it on top,
mm-hmm.
put some sprouts on it, mm-hmm. just some alfalfa sprouts, and then just a little bit of hot sauce on
there.
Oh
yeah. Yeah.
And I literally was in heaven. And it was, yeah. it was such a simple dish.
Yeah.
Such a, I mean, I was using really good farm fresh eggs
yeah.
and I was using Honeygrove bread, right? So
right.
I had that really hard crusty outside
good
to it.
Stuff.
And I was just like,
yeah.
this is like the best. And yeah, I had like Eat More sprouts, like
oh, yeah.
all local stuff.
Awesome.
And I was just like, this is absolutely amazing. Like
mm-hmm.
I could eat this for the rest of my life. I'm just saying, like just having those flavor
yeah.
contrasts right
but,
there.
But I mean, I know that we weren't talking about going into this, but look, hot sauce. Like
yeah.
look at hot sauce. Look at your flavors right there. You I mean, yes, sure, it's focused on spice, but if you're talking about a hot sauce, it's probably got a vinegar in there,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, your little bit of what, soury bit. There's going to be the salt in there.
Right.
You know that there's going to be salt in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then some of them probably will have a sweet component. Not all.
Mm-hmm.
But like right there, hot sauce, like there's, sure, you're aiming for the spicy, but you need the balance for that to be delivered, right? You don't get that spicy unless you've got those other components.
Because if you just have the burn in there,
yeah.
it doesn't really add anything to
no.
you, right?
So, exactly.
And of course, there's different degrees. And if you're having different
yeah.
foods, yeah, you want more.
But
heat.
That's just it. That's where you're talking about that wheel, right? You're
yeah.
looking for, if you look 10 different hot sauces, you're going to see others focused in different areas.
Yeah. I would love to also talk about umami.
Yeah, that seems to be the most recent. Like that was sort of, I remember umami being discovered. Sorry, these are air quotes I'm
yeah.
throwing. I remember umami being discovered of like 20 years ago. And all we did was picked it up as, you know, from the Japanese. And it was essentially a reassertion of savory. It was sort of giving a better definition to what we're looking for when we talk about savory.
Yeah. I got to say, we can go even farther back
sure.
there. Because you know what umami is?
Mm.
Is it's MSG.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that's the thing that we're used to.
We're used to. But I'm saying is, and that's where it comes from, right?
Yeah.
Like MSG adds savoriness,
right?
That's why it's there,
right?
And that's why if you look at any recipe from back in the 70s
yeah
or even pre that, they've always got MSG in there.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of Asian cooking has a lot of MSG in there because, but we found out that it really affects people in a negative way or certain people in a negative way.
So exactly. And so, I mean, so we started to look at other ways of introducing umami or trying to recognize other sources of umami. One thing I know that we haven't even talked about this. One of the things I know that a couple of major celebrity chefs have recognized and identified that one of our common forms of using it in North America is in ketchup. So ketchup is very sweet. It's very sweet, but its underlying flavor is umami.
Right.
So when we're adding it, we're just trying to get that umami. That's what you're craving. You want that umami on your food.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a really interesting one. Yeah, it's like it's bringing those extra savory flavors out.
Yeah.
And that's basically by properly seasoning, adding flavors. Right. You can bring all those flavors out of dishes. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Another form of umami that we use here is, again, that's heavily salted, would be like Worcestershire or Worcester sauce.
Have you ever heard the story of Worcestershire sauce?
Well, like its origin, where it is? Yeah.
They were trying to make a jerk sauce.
Yeah.
And then the guy's like, it was a chemist who made it and put it in a barrel, and he tried it, and he's like, this is terrible. Pushed it to the back of his shop, waited for over a year, and then was like, oh, maybe I'll try that again.
Right.
And was like, oh, my God. But to me, my brain's like, I made something, put it in the back of my shop, and I was like, why not? Let's give it a try.
Right. It's kind of like misos, you know? Yeah. Like, the same thing. It was sort of, oh, these beans are fermenting. Hide them. You know, get them out of the way. And then, oh, look, you leave them for a year and they develop an amazing flavor.
I know. It's just like crazy. You wonder how some food came to be and you hear about food safe and then you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Worcestershire sauce. I mean, we wouldn't have Caesar salads without Worcestershire sauce, right?
And so many people don't realize that the garlic might be the bright flavor, the thing that you feel, that the depth of flavor of a Caesar salad dressing, that's the Worcestershire.
And it comes from that umami, that savoriness that's added to it. So, wow, you know what? I'm really surprised. I was like, well, maybe we can get 10 minutes out of this, but we're up to 20 minutes so far talking about seasoning and flavoring.
Sure.
So,
can we circle back for a few minutes?
Yeah, let's do that for sure.
Just for a couple minutes. How about the impetus of this, the idea that we were going to talk about seasoning and flavoring is really because you're stretching your creative chef muscles in ice cream right now. How does this apply to that? How are you right now?
How is this applying to me? Well, it's neat because, you know, like it's trying to match up flavors that are warm and then have them come out frozen as even better.
Oh, yeah.
So and it's like I like playing with it is there's things that people don't think about, you know, like definitely with flavoring, like matching, like, and this could be a whole nother episode of pairing foods.
Yeah.
I like you pulled out this book, The Flavor
Thesaurus.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, no worries.
And it's a really interesting book. I love the fact we were just joking about it because it's like, it's taking ingredients and then matching them with what they go really well with. And I've got another book I've got?
The Flavor Bible.
Yeah,
that's why I got this. I remember buying this book thinking, oh, John's got the Flavor Bible. And that was such a great book. That serviced us really well during when we owned the pasta plate. And then I saw this one. It was like, well, if you've got a Bible or a dictionary or whatever, then you need a thesaurus to go with it. And yeah, I saw this and it's great. It's just that. We're not even promoting the book. Just where this came from was the idea that, certain flavors pair well with other flavors. And this gives you that. It gives you some great.
And a lot of people have experimented. And I mean, I know there's a lot of things I've done before that don't work at all. So, but then other things that really work.
That's part of creativity, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love that. I love experimentation and totally screwing something up because you're like, well, I never have to be curious about that again.
Well,
that's done.
Well, here's one that was actually a fun one, and I'll bring it up for the ice cream. So the other day, Gladstone gave us, they've just released this Imperial Stout. Just tapped it, be a week now. And so they've tapped this keg and it's a beautiful beer. Anyways, they gave some to me to make an ice cream out of it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do with this, okay. But I'm like,
yep.
Basically what I wanted to do is intensify those flavors, right?
Sure.
Like I really wanted to get the flavors of the beer, but I want to get rid of the alcohol.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Let's talk about too. What is that flavor? There, I mean, to me, a stout has a lot, there's a bit of a bitterness to it, a tiny bit.
Yeah. There's a bit of bitterness. There's some, you know, the hoppiness in there. There's a maltiness.
Oh, maybe the malt, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Little coffee aspects of it, right. You know, like.
Okay, so I'm just trying to figure out what you're trying to isolate there.
Yeah,
in the ice
cream. So yep. What I'm doing with that is I'm trying to get these flavors. And of course, I've never had the beer before, so it's literally like trying it.
Right.
And of course, there's lots of alcohols in there too, which has a bit of a bitterness to it as well, right?
Right.
So I've got to pull all that out of there. And of course, boiling down beer, or I should say simmering down beer, because I don't want to boil it. Uh-huh. But you know, the aromas that come off there are quite strong. And I was like, whew, like this is an interesting smell in my kitchen, right? And I'm an ice cream shop. So.
I was just going to say, because alcohol, getting drunk is just alcohol being introduced to your bloodstream. The fastest way is by drinking it. But you can smell it too, to the point where you would get drunk if it enters your bloodstream.
Well, that could explain a few things to me now. I was happy most of that day. Yeah. And joking around. No, anyway, so I reduce it down and then and then I added a bit of sugar to it.
Right.
Just to bring out some of those flavors and to sort of break it down. So when I put it into my custard, I wouldn't get as much iciness in it. Of course, I've got this reduction. Of course, you've got to try it, right?
Yeah.
And oh, that was nasty. It was like, but then it would be like, if you think about it, like Worcestershire sauce, like we were talking about that,
right.
Like taking a spoonful of that may not be exactly what you want to do, right?
Leveraging it out over a cup of dressing, sure, but just having a whole spoonful in one go, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Like if this is your flavor you're trying, no, it's not going to work. So then adding that to my cream and my custard, all of a sudden I had this beautiful malty flavor.
Oh, wow.
And it just grew. And then I was sort of like, well, and I feel some chocolate to it. So I threw some chocolate pretzels in there just to make it fun and make it look interesting on the cone. And so all of a sudden there we have this beautiful, interesting ice cream.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so, and that's pretty much like, that's a, you know, your process, like that's your average day now. Well, maybe not every day, but you do a day or two like that a week where you're developing new flavors for your ice cream.
I'm trying to take something in, like the one I was playing with, like I did a while back, was like blueberries and sage, right? Like,
right.
And I had a lot of people like, oh, I don't know about that. And then I was like, they try it and they're like, oh, wow, I really like that.
We're right now sitting in my kitchen and I'm pointing to a shelf of my jam. And 1/3 of that shelf is my blueberry sage jam.
Yeah, no,
like they're so good together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's fun, like sort of bringing those flavors out and playing with that. So
yeah, that's fantastic. I guess in recapping, how about, I don't know. I mean, we're looking at, we just covered a lot of things here and you can tell it's a lot of things because we're like, oh my God, where do we go next? How do we bring this up next? But yeah, so seasoning, flavoring. How about a quick recap? Do we want to talk about, so seasoning is
enhancing those flavors. That's what we were talking about.
And it's enhancing the flavor that already exists.
As I mumbled through in the beginning, but it was like, it's really having, is, I mean, really seasoning is salt.
Yeah.
And the salt pulls those extra flavors and builds. So it's not like pouring too much in there because then all of a sudden it becomes salt.
Right.
But like just adding a little bit at a time as you go along, as well as your herbs that enhance some of those flavors.
Right.
Here's a little trick that I've done with a couple things is like a little bit of vinegar too. I've always found that one kind of enhances flavors as well. I definitely, and I'm saying like, I say vinegar, but I'm saying like lemon and acid is, I guess, what
I
wanted to do.
That's one that I definitely picked up from you, throwing a little bit of fresh lemon juice here and there in the right recipes. Not in everything, but in the right recipes can just, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm. I really like in like a creamy sauce, adding a bit of an acid to it. And it just pulls out some of that.
I now add lemon to my Alfredo and I thought that was crazy and now I can't not do it.
It just, and that is a seasoning too, right?
Because
it's not like you're tasting lemons, you're just tasting.
No, you don't. You don't taste it at all. Everything else just becomes brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that definitely falls under one of your spices, right? So using that as a spice, as your fruit.
But yeah, so this could go on for another hour. I would say if you have any questions, or if you need any clarity, if you want to know like where's the right time to use this, or you know maybe you're about to make that and you want a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of forehand knowledge, a little bit of expertise there, by all means, get in touch with us on the website. This isn't one of those ones by email wouldn't probably work that well, especially if you're in the middle of making a dish and might be a day or two before
and,
we get back.
And here's the thing to do too, is if you're in the kitchen, like experiment.
Yeah.
It's not.
I'd love to hear people's experimentation too. Like, I mean, we literally have a podcast where we get to talk about what we've experimented with.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to. It's because I love talking about it. I love.
Yeah, I would love to hear some of your flavoring and seasoning ideas, like some of your combinations. Yeah, or disasters would be even better.
Then we can avoid them.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like I'm just saying, like if you're in the kitchen and you're making a sauce or you're making a soup or something like that, look through your pantry, check out some of those herbs and spices and just think about how you could add something that might bring out those extra flavors. So,
okay, I mean, here's one of my... this is my one of my biggest tricks in the kitchen. Exactly as you said, when I'm experimenting, when I'm coming up with something on the fly, and I've started with a base of, again, I'm going to use tomatoes because it's something ubiquitous. Everybody uses them. We all use tomato sauces. I look at other ways tomatoes have been used, and that's where I springboard. So if I'm making a tomato sauce and I'm like, how am I going to do this a little bit of different or a little bit different than I've done in the past? As you said, introduce a little bit of vinegar because I know ketchup. Very common, very loved thing there. It's tomatoes with a bit of vinegar and salt or sugar. So like, I know that that's already going to work a bit. And if I start there, so it could be something else though. You can take a look at what something else that you're doing and say,
I love how you bring up ketchup too, because it's a funny one because everyone says ketchup and they think tomato ketchup.
Right.
But really a ketchup can be any sort of fruit.
It can.
So you can do blueberry. I mean,
that's starting to show up in the last 10 years in other restaurants. Sometimes people get back into the old ways of making ketchup out of lots of other things. I foresee that getting a little bigger. I foresee that you'll start to see some more niche ketchups too.
Oh yeah. Well, it's just fun flavors to combine with, right? So
absolutely. But yeah, that's my base. That's where I look at what's been done and say, oh, well, somebody did that with that and that seemed to go over well. Why don't I start with that and go from there?
And when you're seasoning, think about that flavor wheel. Think about the sweet, the sour, the bitter, the salty, the umami. Like,
this savory, is the biggest one. If you're making a soup and you don't know what it's missing, which happens all the time, that is the best time to think about this, I think. Mm-hmm. That is, or it's not necessarily the best. It's one of the best examples that you can probably draw on that we're all experiencing. I'm making a soup because I had these vegetables. It's missing something. It's not salt. It's well salted. What's it missing? Start looking at the rest of the flavor wheel.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you need that bitter. So add that acid.
Yeah.
You know, you need that sweet. Add a little bit of sugar or honey or, you know, like there's other things. Or even as your starter, like a sweetness.
Yeah.
Part of the reason you put onions in things is because they're sweet.
Yeah, they're very sweet.
And that's
sweet.
Why when you cook them down and you get that bitterness out of them, that's when that sweetness comes.
Absolutely.
Sweeter than sugar, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. So we love hearing about this. Tell us what you've done. Tell us what you've tried. The best place I would say for notes like that would be hit us up on our Facebook and look for this post, put it on your Facebook, tell us what you've done, what you need help on, what you're curious about. We will definitely respond. We always do. So
yes, and if you have any other questions, you can always email us at theediblevalley@gmail.com and check us out on all of our sites that we have, theediblevalley.com for other episodes of some great places and maybe some interesting ingredients from around Comox Valley and Vancouver Island.
Right. Yeah, and any other places that you want to find us, we're on all the social media under Edible Valley. So thanks for listening.
Yes, and have fun out there. And once again, remember, keep it fresh, keep it flavorful, and keep it fun. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.